Detailers. The entry-level coding game started in 2016 with Anyo Ceramic Coatings. With its unique single-layer composite technology, Anyo allows detailers to achieve greater levels of success faster. With an application cost under $15, the deepest gloss levels and ability to apply in under 1 hour makes Anyo perfect for daily drivers needing 2 years of protection. That's right, 2 years protection for under $15 per install. And because you're a listener, get an additional 15% off with code DETAIL15. So get the coding that launched the entry-level coding game while others are just now trying to change their game. Anyo Ceramic Coatings, available on the Detail Supply app. And remember to use the code DETAIL15 to save 15% off your purchase.
Hey, y'all, it's Noxie. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the paint assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxie. What's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint Assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude. And they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear.
Whoa.
Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Warning, this episode contains shop talk. That means some naughty words are going to be said. If that's not your cup of tea, just stop now and go listen to something a little more kid-friendly. Thank you.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions podcast. Y'all know who I am. Tonight, we've got Andrew. Andrew, welcome. Appreciate you being on the episode. So, Andrew, man, let everybody know who you are, where you're from, and what do you do?
My name is Drew, or Andrew Leakins. My company is Divine Touch Detail. I'm based out of Tampa, Florida. I live in Largo, but my company is kind of based out of Tampa for right now. I detail cars, boats, RVs, airplanes, you name it. I'm a professional detailer, but I mean, I'm an enthusiast to some, I guess. But you know, I'm 4.5 years into this, and you know, nice. I'm learning every day.
That's awesome, man. It surprises me all the time when I talk to everybody, like how, you know, most everybody that I'm talking to hasn't really been in the game for that long. You know, I mean, even the likes of Cormie and Bill Martin, and some of those guys have only been doing it for 5 or 6 years. So it always surprises me, man, because I always think everybody's just lifers. And yeah. So, yeah, that's good, man. So how, where, when did you get started then?
So, I mean, really, it was like, it wasn't really meant to be for me. I don't know. I just kind of fell into it.
Okay.
It all started, I was detailing for a guy five, six maybe years ago. And it was kind of a cover business for him or what have you. And he wasn't really working, but he was sending me out every now and then to detail some cars. I had some experience detailing when I was younger, and I was just kind of doing what I knew. You know, he never really showed me anything per se.
Right.
And then I went through some hard times. I found myself with my back against the wall. And like, I told my wife, basically, I was going to start a company, and we were going to start detailing cars, and she thought I was kind of nuts. I spent the last little bit of our money on all of our supplies and crap, just junk from Home Depot and Lowe's and you know, nothing fancy, just the crap that we all bitch about now when we're detailing cars.
Right.
And I ran around and I was putting tire shine on people's dashboards and they wanted it to shine. Like, I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Oh, wow.
But I was detailing a homeless, literally living out of a hotel room with three kids. And I was just washing cars to make do, you know, and it turned into every day I just wanted to do better than I did on the last job.
Right.
And
right.
I was giving stuff away, man. I was doing it for 20, 40, 60 bucks. Like, whatever I could pass, I had,
yeah,
you know, whatever it made money to pay for the room tonight and put food, right, on our table. And eventually I started realizing, like, shit, my time's actually worth money. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? And
yeah.
people keep calling me, like, I could actually ask them for money instead of just lowball myself.
Right, right.
And so I've blossomed. I mean, I've kind of grown over the years. I just kind of keep giving myself a raise is the way I see it. Now I'm up to kind of professional pricing in a way, but I'm still kind of cheap in my area, but I'm not breaking the bank on my end anymore. I'm making money now.
Nice, man. Yeah, you know, and I think that's kind of how we all are, you know. And I mean, listen, when I started, I had left the car wash, so, you know, I was used to doing details for car wash prices, you know, like, yeah, I was, you know, $200 for a full detail, you know, buff and wax on the outside, you know, yeah, and, yeah, and a full interior.
I was putting, you know, rotaries on cars. I was shampooing for under, right, $200, man. I was doing it all. My full, right, detail was, so, everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I started real low. I mean, I was definitely one of those guys, you know, that we kind of bitch about, you know, that's out there doing ceramic coatings for $400 or $500 and, you know, doing cheap shit. But I mean, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah,
you gotta kind of like build your clientele and get your foot in the door. And then, you know, I did exactly what you said, you know, like every year I was like, okay, like I'm getting busier. I've got people coming in. Like I need to bump my prices up a little bit, you know? And I would bump them enough to where, you know, I wasn't scaring off the people I had. And I was bringing in new people and, you know, same thing like you, man. Now I feel like I'm, you know, at that professional level, that pricing level, I guess. So yeah, man, that's cool. You know, I wanted to ask you about that. 'Cause, you know, Jason was actually, you know, Jason recommended me to, 'cause I was kind of scrambling. I kind of had the whole season ready to go with all the guests. And then there was one guest who just when I reached out and said, hey, it's your turn, they just never returned back to me. And I kind of kept asking. So I was kind of scrambling and I asked Bruno, I was like, dude, who do you know, like recommend somebody, like give me somebody. And he recommended you because of your story. And I know you just touched on a little bit. I mean, do you care to share any of that? I mean, how, you know, I mean, I think that might be, you know, a good thing for people to hear from where,
yeah,
you,
I mean,
kind of where you started to where you got to kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can give you kind of a longer story version of it. You know, I try to keep it short and dry to, you, yeah, know, make stuff simple. Yeah, no, literally, like I said, I was, you know, working for a guy and shit went south. And I don't want to cuss too much on your program, but shit went south pretty much. And yeah. I found myself homeless. Like my girl was working at a restaurant at the time, waitressing. She was getting crappy money, crappy hours. And we just didn't have any savings. We were, you know, we had our, you know, nothing left. And took the last few $100. When I say a few hundred, we had like gotten to a hotel room and sold some of our shit and had like $400. And I took, wow, that money and I went to Home Depot. And I bought some supplies and a cheap little vacuum. And I got on Facebook and I used to bitch at her every day. I was like, man, get off Facebook. Social media is a waste of time.
Right, right.
And I got on Facebook and I made a post on a buy here, sell here site here in Pinellas County. And I kind of like, I'm not super religious, but I said my prayers and I went to sleep, you know, and it's like, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Right.
She's either really going to kill me tomorrow when there's no more money to pay for a room, or somebody's going to want their car cleaned tomorrow. Like, I'm, yeah, going to make some money. And it did. I woke up and I had like, it started off with like 20 or 30 likes and loves. Can you push that door close? Sorry. I started off with like 20 or 30 likes and loves and a few people commenting and stuff like that. And that same post kind of just built up to like 300 likes and loves. And,
oh, wow,
we actually worked 60 days straight. It's not even a joke. We worked like 60 days straight. We were packing up. She had a car and I had a car and we were loading up all of our kids and all of our belongings, what we had, into these cars. And we were driving trailing each other from job to job. I literally didn't even have a license. I had just gotten out of jail for driving when my license is suspended. Our backs were against the wall. So like basically she was the follow car. Like no shit. We were doing legal activities, but in illegal cars, you know
what
I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So we were driving around and basically we just kept doing that. And I drove around for a year straight with no license. My tags were in my girlfriend's name, thankfully, you know, and I ended up getting my license I was paying on it, getting my shit together. I wasn't just like wasting my time.
Right.
But we kept building, man. And so a customer actually is like, hey, you know, you guys should be a business. You know, why don't you turn it into a business instead of keep just washing everybody's cars and hoping that something comes along. And right. I did. He showed me how to set up an LLC with sunbiz.org. And it was way easier than I ever thought imaginable. I didn't get insurance to start. So I started off as Drew the Detailer. And like I said, I was kind of cheap, man. I didn't know the market. I didn't know the value of things. And no offense to anybody in my area, but it was my kids or, you know, you. Like, who cares? Like, at that point, like, I don't – if you charge $300 for a detail and I just told somebody $100, I'm sorry about your luck right now. As a detailer right now, when people do that, I get a little nerved at the same time. I don't know their story, so I don't try to bitch and complain. I do try to give people the guidance. Like, long story short, to keep it going, we kept growing. We moved out of a hotel room. We stayed with a guy. This guy's name was Bruce. He had leukemia. He was the one who showed me – or Hodgkin's lymphoma, not leukemia.
Oh, wow.
Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he's the one who showed me how to put together a business. And his friend died, and I didn't want to move in. And I was like, I don't want to move in because your friend died. And he's like, no, look, dude, I'm sick. I need somebody here. You know, you and your wife and kids come stay here. Get on your feet. And so we moved in, and we were paying him rent like we would at a hotel.
Right.
And for like 4 months, we were paying him. And right around November, he's like, look, here's your money back. Go get a place to stay. And like, it was like breathtaking, you know, dude, like really hooked us up. He's passed away now, but Bruce Rosen is his name. He's out from Ocala, Orlando area. But he's a really cool guy, man. He saved our lives in that sense. And we got into a 2-bedroom apartment, and I was still Drew the Detailer. I didn't know anything about like the state filing. You know, I was new in the state of Florida. I've never ran a business. You know, I was a homeless guy a year and a half ago. And so I didn't file for my yearly filing. And it was already so far gone. It costed like $700. If my attorney friend was like, look, throw the Drew the Detailer thing away. It was nice to get started with that. Come out with something a little more formal, a little more catchy that people want to think of as a business. Right. And, you know, go get insurance with the extra money that you'd be spending to renew yourself. And so that's what I did. I wouldn't even know half the shit I knew. Like Anthony Carrera is a local detailer here. I know you've had him on the show before.
Yep.
We kind of got like a little distance between ourselves. Like obviously he's a real professional. I'm not necessarily on his level, but he invited me into Paint Assassins. That's how I met Jason Bruno. And that's how I've advanced my career. So I don't want to say I owe it all to him, but I got a lot of respect for him, but also don't talk to him. But that's another situation for another time.
Yeah.
So I come into Paint Assassins and all I did was learn. So like when I joined Paint Assassins, I was still very cheap. I was still not getting any money, and I've kind of grown, like, you know, met different detailers. I went to an Angel Wax training event, literally had no money, didn't even really know a lot about Angel Wax. I just knew that it was a way to kind of rebrand myself as more elegant and more money and just you know, push myself. If I'm using a product that costs this much money, why does it cost this much money? And how can I profit from it by turning that information out to my customers and telling them why I'm using this better product or why I'm using these more high-end products versus Meguiar's from Walmart now, you know, because half these people really don't give a crap what we're putting on their car.
They don't know what you're using. Right. Most of them don't know. They have no clue. You know, it's just, you know, their buddy was like, dude, you got to get ceramic coating on your car. You know, that's all they know.
Yeah. And so, and that's how I got like, so I didn't know what ceramic coatings were really. I just started doing them. I probably have less than 25, 30 coatings under my belt right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, and I'm a certified, I'm proud to be a certified coating installer for Angel Wax using the Genesis lineup.
Yep.
But that was really my, that was my first coating. I got a hold of Angel Wax Genesis. Giancarlo, he gave me an opportunity. He seen something in me at the first little training event on the products.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they needed a space to fill or what, but they took my money and they let me come to the Genesis thing. So I went ahead and went. Both times that I went to Orlando, I kind of got my own little sob story there. Like the first time I went, it was at Rohan Cole's, his place.
Okay. Yeah.
And I literally did like 5 cars on a Friday, and I drove down there Friday night at like midnight. Like no shit, I had like a gun pulled on me as I was leaving my house. Like we don't live in the best neighborhood.
Yeah.
So we were getting ready to, I was getting ready to drive to Miami, and I went to the store, and I came back and I was unloading groceries, and some young kid was shooting off the gun in the middle of the street. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing, man? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And he spun around and he's like, what the fuck are you going to do about it? And pointed the gun at me. And my daughter and me were outside getting groceries. It was kind of crazy. So like an hour later, like I end up leaving and going to Miami and I didn't have no money. I just already spent the 600. It wasn't 600. It was like 250. I spent the money or whatever to go to that first training seminar.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to back out of it. I wasn't going to lose my money. So I went ahead and drove down there. I had no sleep. And, I'm out there with, like, again, true professionals. And these guys are talking about products that I don't even know. And they're, like, doing things. And it's also, like, secretively, like, the breakout meeting with the Angel Wax Genesis products and all the lineup. Like, they didn't even have names for it yet. It was, like, numbered. And, like, it was
like, I remember when they were talking about it. Because I think it was it was, like, right before SEMA 19 or right around SEMA 19.
Yeah, I think it was before 19 SEMA.
Yeah, it wasn't really out yet, but it was like out kind of ish.
Yeah, it was they were dropping hints and
I remember.
So like I went to that and I met some really cool detailers, you know what I mean? Giancarlo being one of them and
he's a good guy.
Rohan Cole, you know, I actually look up to him and he's one who kind of In the training event, he was like, kept having me do stuff. And I'm dog tired and I'd already worked, you know what I mean? I paid my money to come to this thing. And I'm like, man, this is not what I expected. I do not want to be working right now. And he keeps saying, hey, you do this, you do that. And truth be told, prior to this event, and I kid you not, I'd never touched a rotary or I'd never touched a dual action before.
Okay.
I only used a rotary. So I buffed boats, I buffed cars. To be honest, you know, I didn't even really fully understand polishing and, you know, polishing things out.
Right.
There was plenty of cars riding around town that I hologrammed up, you know what I mean? That I didn't know no better in the time prior. And, that was like a turning point for me where like, you know, I kind of like, oh shit, you know, like, first off, I'm doing it wrong. But so he put a dual action in my hand and he's like, go ahead and do something. And then this guy's like, where's your handlebars or something like that? And it was just like, oh, it was all embarrassing pretty much. And he called me an enthusiast. And I'm like, man, I'm knocking down 25, 30 cars a week. I'm a professional in my head. You know what I mean?
Right, but
leaving that event, I come back home, you know, and I sit down and I think about it. And it didn't really butt hurt me too much. But I was like, you know, I'm a professional, ain't I? You know what I mean? And then I started looking at myself and started looking at things that, you know, I'm doing versus others. And, you know, one of the bigger things to me was lowballing myself. Like, you know, I wasn't giving myself credit or the industry credit for its value. You know, this isn't the easiest job and it's very time consuming and it takes away from our families and it takes away from, you know, freedoms and stuff like that.
The stress that you put on your body, you know, I mean, the damage that
labor intense,
you know, being on your knees or being hunched over, you know, doing this, doing that, you know, breathing in all the fumes, you know, a lot of people don't understand that and don't realize, you know, that a lot of that has to do with why we charge so much.
Absolutely, man. I mean, and I was feeling it. And from the very beginning when I was charging too little, you know, my body was feeling it, but you know, now, especially charging more I charge, the more I feel like I need to deliver, you know? Right. So now I put that even heavier stress on myself when I am charging $1,500 for a job and people are actually paying it now.
Yeah.
I've never been the detailer who was like, oh, I'll go ahead and do your ceramic coating for $400. And I was, I'm not giving it away. I gave away one Angel Wax 5-year coating for at $800. And that was to kind of make my money back from the event.
Yeah.
And ever since I did that first one and I seen how labor intensive Genesis is. And like, like if you don't know, you know, it's a great coating. I'm telling you right now, I don't knock any other coating company, but it is an elite coating. It is definitely like high quality.
I've heard it's something different too, the way you lay it down, the way you take it off.
I'm just going to say it's thick, man. I mean, I've used other coatings and they're easier. And I almost feel like they're too easy versus Genesis. But also I have high end customers and being able to use the coating on certain things. I've seen it in real life conditions for over a year now. And like, I believe it's going to last every day of 5 years, you know, and I'm one of the first people that's gotten to touch it. I haven't had to put toppers on it. I don't have to use anything. And my biggest thing, I don't say all that to like talk up Angel Wax at all. I love Angel Wax, but I say all that because I'm trying to stick up for myself, you know, and if I put my name on something as a company, it's got to do what I say it does. You know, there's there's other brands and I've used the IGL Marine, man. And I've had customers already having, you know, their boats rehaze and do different things.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I'm not talking about IGL. It could always be user error and stuff like that, but I got to be able to sell what I'm selling. Otherwise, I'm so small, it'll cripple me. You know, I haven't been doing this 30 years where I have that many people that'll stand up for what I say.
I got to make sure that I'm protecting myself. Like, and I got to sell my product.
Again, I mean,
sell myself, not my product. You know, that's right. That's what everybody says, but that's really what I do is I don't push the product. I tell you what I'm
gonna do. One bad review or one bad, you know, whatever for small, you know, small guys like us is, you know, make or break us. So, you know, kind of, yeah, because, you know, I remember a saying back, you know, one negative experience, that person's going to tell 10 people.
Yeah.
One positive experience, that person's not going to tell anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
they tell one person maybe, yeah, you know, but yeah, or they tell it and one person heard it and, you know, but if they tell the negative experience, 10 people are, their ears are wide open and burning for that negative story.
Exactly.
You know, drama is the highest, you know, rated thing in our country right now. Anything dramatic is going to draw all the eyes.
Yeah.
So I try to kill them with kindness. You know, I probably should have a couple bad reviews by now, but some people, some situations actually worked out in the process of that bad review that they probably can't say much for themselves. Like they were being a jerk or they were being a douchebag that
they got
a rise out of me where I got an attitude with them, but they can't write it out and formally tell somebody that I was the actual asshole because they usually took part in it some way. You know what I mean?
So
they lied about their story before I got there and I still tried to help them and they were disappointed in the outcome. And I'm like, it was a shit show when we started. What do you want me to do?
Exactly. So with the Genesis, is that, I mean, are you using Angel Wax products across the board or?
So I started to, So with all, like, again, I don't want to talk negative about any companies and IGL is great. I use a lot of their products.
Yeah.
I haven't bought any more IGL coatings. I still have some. I'm, you know, pushing them. I have, you know, when I get rid of them, I'm probably not going to use that much more of them until I get more versed in ceramics, you know, until I have a higher need for it.
Right.
Going forward, you know, because I've played with those two and I've played with three or four others that, you know, are different names, you know, whatever. And I just don't like them. Like I do actually like the Genesis. Like maybe it's cause I'm hard headed as hell and I like difficult stuff.
Right.
But, you know, Genesis, like I said, I know when I'm wiping it off of a vehicle, the way you got to take it off and how it's bonding to the paint, you know, and how it rejects from the paint and so on and so forth. I really believe that coating is sticking to my surface for a long period of time.
Right.
I've put it on a few boats now and in place of, like, I've sold it as like a 2-year coating and I put the 5-year coating on there. And I mean, they might not call me back. I don't know.
Because
I mean, not because it didn't look good, because like it doesn't haze up. Who knows?
Right. But yeah.
Boats are also a pain in the ass, man. You can polish the crap out of a boat, and if with neglected situations, they just haze right back up. It's sun. It's oxidation. It eats away.
Yeah. Gel coat reacts differently than clear coat does, and all that stuff. Yeah. No. I mean, listen, I've been around long enough. I've done my fair share of boats. I just don't try to do them as much anymore. It, you know, it's funny. I got to give Tommy a lot of credit with how he's built the Angel Wax brand and everything, because we were talking about it on the Birthday Bash podcast the other night. It was not done by any means intentionally, but I told Tommy we've had more Angel Wax installers on this podcast than any other brand, like, period. Like, not even just coating brands, just brands, period. And it was kind of funny because I was messaging him last night because Rudy, I don't know if you caught the Rudy episode. Rudy's over in Scotland, and Rudy's really close with John and Matt.
Yeah, John Hogg and Matt Yates or what have you.
Yeah. So Rudy was asking me if I'd be interested in having talking with Matt. And I was like, nah, man, we had too many Angel Wax installers on here, you know. And he's like, okay, cool, man. And I'm like, no, I'm kidding. But I had messaged Tommy and I was like, dude, I just met Matt, you know, trying to get him on the podcast. And he's like, holy crap. So Tommy was like, dude, what you said the other night, was that true? And so I said, yeah. So, you know, like I started listing off all the guests that I've had that are Angel Wax installers.
Yeah.
And then I got, you know, like I sent that to him and he's like, holy cow. And I was like, oh, wait, hang on a second. I'm talking to Drew tomorrow night.
He was like, damn. I'm sorry, man. I missed that. I was actually doing an Angel Wax Genesis install. So that's funny.
No, I was working
my butt off on that black Jeep. And I haven't even got half my work posted. I've been working my ass off trying to catch up from my slow time.
Yeah.
But, man, yeah, like the group of guys from Angel Wax that I've gotten to meet, I actually got to meet John Hogg, and he's nice. Actually a really cool character. And if you get to see him and meet him, I feel like it's genuine. Like his scientific knowledge of the products is genuine. Right. It's not, you know, sometimes I can meet a customer and I feel like I can blow a little smoke, you know, and I can talk myself up, or I can take this situation and make myself look real knowledgeable. That guy is real knowledgeable. You know, he knows what he's putting in these products and what they're intentionally supposed to do.
Right.
So going to that, meeting him, and then him explaining the products, and then even other guys talking about what the products do. It's a great product line. It's a great group of guys. But again, it's, you know, their quality is up there. I mean, bar none, they're definitely one of the higher end companies. A lot of their products might be expensive for what you're using them for, especially if you're doing volume, but less is more with a lot of their stuff too. So you can use a tiny bit and stretch it a long ways, and it's still doing its job. The group of installers that I'm certified with, I feel like I'm, you know, in the bottom tier of these guys, because again, when you look at some of the names, I don't want to sit here and brag about them all. Yeah, I don't know half these guys, you know, in person, but you know, it's a good list of guys and some like top-notch names, people who I would consider like, you know, world-class detailers. You know, you look at Cormie or Giancarlo and stuff like that. I think Rain Albertson, he's another certified installer. You know, you see some of these guys, man, they're high quality work, dude, and like they know what they're doing. And you know, they definitely know more than I do, you know what I mean? And I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, but I'm learning, you know, and I try to ask as little questions as possible so I don't look stupid sometimes, but I also got to learn, you know, like I bump my head and I keep hitting my head on the wall, and finally I break through, you know. It's a cool group to be with, man. I'm very proud to be a part of that.
I think it's important to ask the questions, man, because I think, you know, that's the thing with this industry that I've learned, you know, even go back to my car wash days, is, you know, every year a new car comes out, a new type of paint comes out, a new type of whatever comes out. So it really doesn't matter. I mean, you can be, you know, the Cormies, the Giancarlos, the Knoxes, the whatever. Knoxes, you know, those guys are still learning, you know, I'm still learning every day. As I go along. So, you know, don't get too down on yourself, you know, thinking, you know, you don't want to ask the question the right way. You know, or whatever. The knowledge is out there. And the cool thing about being in PA is you're not going to get a shit answer, right? You know, so
if you do it, it's not that harsh. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's usually good fun, razzing, you know, joking around, but that's the one thing that I appreciate, right? Because I know if I ask a question, you know, in that group and maybe in a couple of others, I'm going to get, you know, a legitimate answer, you know, I'm going to get and maybe multiple answers, you know, somebody's way of doing it might not fit the way that I do it, but somebody's, you know, way will.
You can end up with alternatives or even a new way to get things done. Yep. So, I mean, it's
exactly. In fact, you know, before we even jumped on here, I had one of my buddies messaging me about GM paint, and I'm like, black GM paint on top of that. And I'm like, dude, I haven't done a black GM car in forever, man. Go message Cormie. Like, right? he'll tell you what to do.
Yeah. You know? And so I guess, you know, I'm still learning myself. So it's not that I'm too bashful to like ask for help, but I'm like, all right, I'm like a troubleshooter or a problem solver. Gotcha. Like I got to figure it out for myself in a sense, but I also waste time like that too. And it's the job that I get at the shop. You know, if you give me a car at the shop, I'm dissecting it. I'm chasing every damn swirl. I'm definitely not, you're getting way more than you paid for. Trust me. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm learning, and I'm still educating myself. So I'd hate to sit here and act like I'm like the best, cause I'm not, you know, I'm far from it, but I feel really good at what I do. And I do think that I'm a good detailer. I do think that like I'm up there with some guys too. You know, I'm not like trying to say that, he or her or anybody is less than or greater than, you know, anything, but I do see a lot of these guys and girls out there who are like, I got a mad respect for them, because I know I'm in the trenches, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know it. It's a job, you know. Like you see, like the Bakers, I got a lot of respect for them both too. But like Megan Baker gets out there, she works on them boats, dude. Like I got a lot of respect for that girl because my wife does that same damn thing and she works her ass off. Like,
yeah,
and we feel it in our backs and our legs and our
right. There's
this certain... is a, by the way, let me say that real quick too. Uh-huh. First and foremost, like my wife has been there from the very beginning. I don't stress that enough. Like she's a part of this business. She's
nice.
You know, a great part of this business. You know, we fight and get stressed out because we work together so much, but we wouldn't be where we're at. You know, our income is both of us together. She doesn't have a side job. You know, she's went and done other things a few times, but in the end result, I always need her to help me keep this business going and growing. So like, she is a huge part of it. And you see couples like the Bakers and a lot of other, you know, detail families out there. Right. I respect it because we know how it is. We bring our kids on jobs and we got to stress each other out and we got to go through a lot.
That's
to get
good, man.
Success, right. Man. And I think that's what we're all striving for, success. You know, we just want to make ourselves proud at the end of the day.
Right. No. And you know, going back to what you were saying is, you know, I've said it a bunch of times. I mean, this is just moving a machine up and down and back and forth. You don't have to, you know, be a brain scientist, you know, or whatever.
But you'd be surprised, man. I mean, I don't know how many helpers you've had, but you get some people behind a machine and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like
that's true.
I know there's
some real like chemistry and thought behind a lot of it, you know, and that's
there
and
is
that's
skill the, to it, you know, it really right, is knowing the difference.
Right. That's the thing I talk I think we might have been talking with David Patterson or whatever, because he was like going into a whole breakdown of like, you know, pads and chemicals and how they work together and this and that. And I was like, dude, I just put my four dots on there and I go to town and like that, you know, only like there's no thought process, you know, whatsoever for me. I know what works for me. I know how to manipulate it to make it work. So no, I don't take anything away from the people that are absolute brainiacs and understand how everything breaks down and does.
But I want to.
Yeah, listen, I do too. Eventually, one day, somebody will teach me or.
So no, I'm craving it now. Like I already I've had somebody at the shop recently.
Uh huh.
And he was staying there, and I told him, I was like, listen, when I'm detailing cars and I have my DA going, like I hear beyond the motor of the DA, and like I'm sure he thinks I'm blowing smoke, but like,
right,
like I'm literally like I'm invested in what I do, like very much, and like I listen and I can hear the pads like scuffing the surface and the sand moving beneath the pad, like you can kind of hear it at times. You know, a lot of people might have their headphones on and different stuff like that, but when you have your machine running at a 5 or a 6 and you're on a smooth surface and you know it's already smooth, you're just kind of filing it down. You can hear the grit to the machine, like you can hear it, and I like to be in tune with it. I want to know why, what compound is best for this, like, and I want to, and I'm, my mind, like, I don't write down, like, literally, I have not had like a address book or a schedule in like 2 years, because I just remember every, like, and this is not no joke, like, I remember every detail, I remember where I'm supposed to be and what I tell the people.
Wow.
But I mean, check it out though, I text and write down little notes for me and the customer to where there's no issues or confusion. So that's a big help, right? You know,
because you could always go back and
exactly
look at the
back to it. So I'm not like super psychic, but I mean, I have my own pattern, but I also remember where I've been and what I've done. So I remember what products don't work for me in what situations. Like, oh my God, I've done this boat and it was a pain in the butt, or I've worked on this paint and it's, you know, working on old paint, working on new paint. I haven't done it all yet, but what I have done, I can remember. So next time I do a 62 Mustang, I'm going to remember that it's probably got some hardener in this aftermarket paint job or something like that. Because the last one I did, I couldn't touch it. You know what I mean? Like none of them scratches were budging. I had to like dig with the rotary, you know what I mean? To get at
right,
it.
Right.
So, but I'm learning still. You know, I'm still learning. There's so much I don't know that I got to remember shit and keep going.
Right. No, and that's good because, you know, I'm bad at that, man. Like I, you know, I might remember a couple of cars back. But I mean, I was messaging with, Nick Mucci, earlier because he posted up, I think it was in Paint Assassins or whatever, an orange, Lotus, Evora.
I think I might've seen that.
And he was asking, you know, like how's the paint on it or whatever. And everybody was kind of giving the thing. And so I sent him a message of the like Nardo gray color. I don't think Lotus calls it Nardo gray, but whatever.
I think I seen you did one a while back, didn't you?
Yeah. It was like 2 years ago. And I was like, dude, it was, you know, it was easy peasy. And he was like, you know, was it hard paint or soft paint? I'm like, dude, I don't know. It was 2 years ago. Like, you know, I don't remember, you know.
You know, and so, like, I don't – and, again, so, like, I don't really get or know every single thing either. I'm not a freaking genius, you know.
Yeah.
I know how it's hard or soft because of the way it's cutting for me, but I couldn't tell you why it's hard or soft or what's, you know, inside of that paint and why they're all like that, you know. But I know that when I'm cutting at it, all right, this shit ain't cutting, and this is, you know, or when it's so soft that when I'm trying to wipe it or even do a final wipe before coating, that, like, scratches. I'm micro-marring the door and I'm pulling hair out. As you can see, I'm already receding, so I mean, I don't need to do that too much more. So it's like, you know, hey, man, you know, I'm learning too. I can't tell you a rhyme or reason why. I guess I get that some of these guys, like, want questions. Like, I asked one about the Ferrari the other day, you know, and people were like, oh, just buff it and just do this. And I'm like, well, I would have done that, but I just wanted to make sure that in case there was a reason I shouldn't, this is why I'm asking. You know what I mean? I'm not asking because
Ferraris are typically
scared to put a buffer on it.
Yeah, they're soft paint.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that paint is very soft.
And they're usually got crazy pigtails.
Yeah, it was defective.
And
it was
holograms in them and everything. The last one that I did was the Portofino I did like 2 years ago. It was brand new. It had 14 miles on it. Guy drove it from the dealership to my shop, said, I'm going to Chicago for a week. Have fun.
Right. Love those, right?
Yeah. And so I was like, sweet, man, this thing's brand new. Like, it'll be good. And for the most part, it was. I mean, it had some holograms in it. And then I got to the painted deck that closes up over when you put the hard top down and it closes back up. And I'm like, man, that's going to be the easiest part because it's under there. Man, that was the part that had the most sanding pigtails.
Yeah.
That little section of paint probably took me an hour, hour and a half to cut down the pigtails, from where, you know, the last minute, you know, hit it with some sanding and just did a quick polish on it and sent it out the door on the truck, you know, on the boat kind of deal. They're typically soft. So let me ask you, you know, it seems like you're, you know, really, really trying to, you know, obviously trying to learn, trying to figure things out. What are some things that you're looking forward to trying to learn in the future, whether it, you know, just figuring it out on your own or going to trainings or something like that?
So, like, you know, I was supposed to actually go to an aviation training. I was supposed to go to an aviation training back in January for IGL or what have you. And I decided not to go. Life and money didn't allow me to go. And then a little politics kind of steered me away from it. But, I still want to keep learning. I still want to go to, like, aviation trainings. I want to get with Marcus Parsley of IGL Coatings and learn Eclipse. I don't really have negative things to say about IGL. Like I said, I'll still use some of their coatings. I still want to learn other coating companies and what they have to offer. You know, I just want to get formally acquainted with a lot of different industries. I'm trying to grow my business on several different fronts. I want to be able to offer coatings like the in-home coatings and stuff like that I see guys doing on countertops, refrigerators, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I advertise for that in a sense when I speak to my customers and I explain to them the different things that we could possibly do. I just want to keep using products. I just want to keep learning and growing. I want to network with more people. But like I said, a lot of people that do know me know that I work my butt off, like, nonstop. It doesn't mean that I'm rich, but it means that, like, I've kept growing my business to where I'm that busy. I've made good money the past few years, and I just keep reinvesting in myself. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
But, you know, I just keep reinvesting in myself.
Yeah, we're only using odd. We're only using.
Yeah, yeah, I got you. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But, you know, I keep reinvesting in myself. You know, I just keep putting the money back into the business, and it keeps growing. I'm at the point where I need help. I've needed help a few times, but we just can't find, like, the right person. You know, unfortunately, I invested some time into a guy. I thought it was going to work out. It didn't. We went a little bit of time without anybody because it was just kind of like a sourness for a little bit there. Like, you invested all that time and it didn't work out. But I'm just kind of interested in keep growing. I want to network. I want to, you know, I'm not actually an unfriendly person, but I've kind of got the reputation, I guess, by some guys where I'm not super friendly, but I just work so much. I don't have any time that, like, I am on a time frame where like I am trying to get home to my kids every day. Like people think, you know, probably that I work nonstop and I don't, you know, want to be with my family. No, I get out like usually late in the day. I don't get usually started sometimes till 9 o'clock or 9:30 because I get all my kids set up for school or off to school or wherever they That's need good. To be. And then I gotta bust ass and get all my stuff done. And then usually I gotta stop somewhere in my day and take somebody somewhere or do something like else or something. So it's never like a full. It is always a full day, but it's always like there's somewhere you got to be. You know, I always got to – there's a meeting that has to go on here. Listen, I – everything for that.
I get it, man. I mean, you know
– You got kids?
I do. I have a daughter. I have an 11-year-old daughter, and she's in middle school this year, which for some reason middle school is the only – like elementary school starts early, high school starts early, elementary school starts late. So a lot of times I end up taking her. So then I'm like you, right? Like I drop her off at 9. So, or actually like 9:15, 9:20. Yeah, so I don't get to the shop till 9:45. Like so I don't, you know, I don't start the day until like almost 10. And then there's a lot of times where, with her cheer, you know, my wife can't get off early enough to be able to go pick her up from school at 4 o'clock and take her to cheer at 5. So then I've got to stop my day at 3:30 to be able to get to school and get her and take her to cheer. So you're right. You know, I mean, thankfully those are the days that for me that are usually, you know, I've got coatings booked, right? So, you know, it doesn't really matter if I take off early, you know, on a Monday or whatever, because that's usually the first day of coding day. I've got the car for 3 days, so it's not a big deal as long as I'm done coding it by sometime Tuesday to where I can deliver it on Wednesday. You know, not a big deal. So I totally get it, man.
I do that too, but I also I'm guilty of overextending myself. Like I was texting you earlier, kind of said that, you know, that's how I capitalize on the situation. You know, a lot of like. Right. I made a post today, actually, coincidentally, about people like complaining because I can't get in for same day details. I don't mind a same day detail if I have the time, but if I don't have the time, you can't be mad at that. Like,
right, exactly. Booked it.
But you know, that's how I make money. Is like, you know, if I've already made $500 for the day and somebody wants to come in at 4 o'clock and they want a detail, then I'm gonna charge them, you know, premium. And if they pay it, they pay it. If they don't pay it, then I'm going home. You know what I mean? But oftentimes they'll come in and they'll pay it and I'll work late. Or I'll do like what you're saying. Like I'll stop in the middle of the day. My daughter will have, you know, this, or my, you know, son will have an appointment, or somebody will have to be somewhere. And it'll get me back to the shop, or back start, you know, since we've had a shop, it'll get me back to the shop, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night. And then again, I'm out there chasing my swirls and you know, trying to get every scratch on a job, or the customer probably doesn't see half the crap that I'm working out. You know what I mean? And I'm just killing myself because I'm thinking, oh no, if I lock this into this Genesis, you know, it's got my name on it. You know what I mean? I don't want. And then like I
but
said,
that's kind of how we are as detailers, right?
That's how we gotta be.
Like, you know, you sold it to the client. Like, look, we're only going to get 75% defects out. Right.
Yeah.
But when you're in it, you're like, yeah, I'm going to get it. I'm going to do the whole thing.
I'm
like,
perfect.
You know,
I'm the best.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
If you I know, want to be the
I
best.
I can't do my walk around and have one little something that somebody's going to be like, oh, you left a spot or you missed a spot. And, you know, and you try to tell them like, well, it wasn't a full detail. And they're like, yeah, right. Whatever.
Exactly. Well, cause that's the thing is, look, so it's funny you say that because that's my outlook is, even though the customer and I, you know, I'll tell them, hey, it's a one step or a two step, you know, they're going to come back thinking, oh, well, he's going to get everything. Like he's just going to, it's going to, and then so when you deliver it and they're like, oh, well, why is this scratch still here? Why is this swirl still here? I'm like, well, remember now what it looked like before you ever paid anything, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Remember when you drove it here and it looked like crap still? Like,
right.
Like I can show you the videos of how much is actually gone, you know?
Yeah. I'll show you the before and afters. Yeah, exactly. Right. What are some things that you like doing outside of detailing? Like any hobbies or whatever?
Well, I mean, like I said, currently I'm a workaholic, but I mean, when I'm not being like crazy with my work schedule, I actually like to spend time with my kids. We go to the beach a lot, or we go to the park or stuff like that. We had Busch Gardens passes for you know, a season and a half up until COVID.
Yeah.
So we were going to Busch Gardens like every other weekend, or at least one weekend a month. We were dipping out to Busch Gardens. We stopped because of COVID. It was just, you know, we bought a swimming pool. We have a pool in our backyard now. So We haven't went swimming. Yeah, it's just one of those. Yeah. We got the pool like a week before the price is tripled on swimming pools, like however that worked out. So, but we just got one of those above ground, like 4 foot pools, and, and they haven't swam in it all of winter, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. I like sports. I mean, people are like, oh, it's Florida. It's still warm.
Cold. Yeah,
it's still warm, you know. But they don't understand the water's cold.
Like, oh no, it's still cold to me. You know, I'm from Indiana. Like, and I'm a Floridian now. I've lived here most of my life. I'm from Indiana, but it's cold, dude. Like, I walk outside, especially when I work around cars and we're working outside.
Yeah,
I'm wet and cold. Like, it sinks into your bones. You know, I'm a 32 year old man.
It's funny because Bruno came out on the podcast. I forget which one we were on, but we were talking about cold, and he was wearing his hoodie, and I'm like, dude, you're from Boston. Like, you should be. And he's like, man, he's
different, like, kind of cold.
I'm a Floridian now. Like,
it's a different kind of cold, though, dude. It really is, because your body's so acclimated to the warmth and the heat that now when you get that cold Florida cold, dude, it's like you're in Chicago or something like that, and the wind's blowing and it's like 32 degrees.
It's that humidity cold. It's got that wetness to it.
Exactly. It's like in your bones. There's moisture in your bones. I think you nailed it.
Exactly. Seriously. So who are some people that you look up to in the industry, whether they're mentors or just people that drive you to you know, keep pushing you to do better kind of thing?
Oh, on the cheap side of it, I'll actually say like everybody, even the crappy guys, even guys who maybe I don't have any crappy guys to speak of, but even the guys who maybe aren't doing things the best way, everybody drives me to be better. Everybody watching other people succeed, watching other people do a good job and take care of their customer. That's what I want to do. You know, the guys who are doing shit work, you know, that's where I want to stay away from. Individually. Like I said, I look up to, I'll say Nathan Warren. I know that's probably not a popular name to some people for whatever reason. I don't talk to him much myself, but I look up to Nathan Warren. He's a hell of a stand-up detailer. Been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
I look up to Giancarlo a lot. You know, I don't talk to him as much anymore, but you know, I look up to him. I think that he's very intelligent, not just in detailing, but like in business mind. He's smart. I look up to Rohan Cole. I look up to Anthony Carrera a little bit. Like I said, I already name dropped him once. Like, I kind of look up to him, you know. Got some little personal beefs with the guy in a sense, but you know, it's just because we're neighborly, you know, we live close to each other, you know, business wise and, you know, realistically, like, live close to each other. There's a few detailers, like, who doesn't like the Chris Cormies and the Aaron Noxus? You know, I hate to be like, you know, those, you guys are like the celebrities. You're a damn good detailer yourself. I mean,
thank you.
To me, I also like Mel Craig, you know, that guy, he's like ancient, you know, to me, he's like longtime detailer out there in California, lives out in Huntington Beach, which to me, like, screams like old school detailer, you know what I mean? Living out on the beach, washing cars and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But he looks like it too. But I don't know any, I don't hardly know much of these people too personally. I've only got to meet a few. So, you know, Jason Bruno is, I look up to in a sense for he's created this group, you know, that has actually become something. You know, some people are going to talk shit and say, it's just a group, but he's uniting some people and he's brought some really intelligent minds to one place. Yeah. You know?
Listen, man, it's more than, you know, we keep telling them all the time. It's more than a group. It's a brand, right? Yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, listen, when you got Rennie Doyle wearing your t-shirts, you know, I mean, I think you've gotten somewhere. Yeah.
No, like I said, I mean, there's bigger names and people like that, like, I look up to. Like, I mean, I don't know. I know that Jonathan Lusso guy or whatever. Lusso's out there in Vegas.
John Jay
Yeah,
Martinez.
Jonathan Jay. Yeah. That's Martinez. Yeah. You know, I don't hardly know him. I know him, you know, through some like mutual friends on Facebook kind of thing. But dude, I mean, he's got a beautiful shop. He's, you know, doing, you know, numbers from the looks of it. You know, I respect, that's the kind of detailing I'm trying to get to. But I respect every detailer, everybody, you know, like, in a sense, like, you're out there getting it. If you suck, then you suck, get better, you know, like, real talk. Yeah. But if you're out there and you're not trying to get better, then I probably don't have the respect for you. But if you're trying to get better and you want to learn, I mean, we've all been there and I'm still learning every day. So I don't think much less of the next guy for having to learn. But I got respect for everybody, man. There's nobody, like, even the people who I dislike or we have little beefs, like, there's nobody who I want to see anything bad happen to. I don't want to see anybody lose their business. I don't want to see anybody have negative reviews. Right. I don't want to see anybody's coding fail on them, no matter who you use. You know what I mean? Yeah. But if you're doing shit work, then you probably shouldn't be in this industry, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I, you know, like, listen, I, you know, I tell my buddies a lot, you know, I, you know, again, like I said earlier, I mean, we all had to start somewhere, You know, I mean, I think a lot of detailers, once they get to a, you know, what they think is a certain level, then they become snobs to the, you know, the guys that are doing the $25 hand washes and, you know, the $400 or $500 coatings, you know, which, you know, look, you know, you got to look at it as, you know, I forget who said it one time, you know, but I mean, that $25 wash guy, you don't know what he's going through, man. You know, and you know, same situation that you were in, you know, I mean, you gotta get what you gotta get, you know, for the day. And he might be able to make $100 doing four cars, that he's not going to be able to get that $100 anywhere else, you know?
Yeah, true. I'll tell you too,
on the other side of it, I feel like there needs to be those people, right? Because not everybody's going to pay our prices.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I feel like, you know, especially if you're starting out, you don't know what the value of yourself is. You know, you just think of it as you're just washing cars. You don't think of it like, I'm detailing and I'm this like high end janitor. No, like you just think of it like you're washing cars. Like, you know, once you start doing it, you start feeling like, you know, you're pouring your heart and your soul into this, and you learn what you're doing, and you understand that there's ways to do it wrong and ways to do it right. Then you start seeing that, okay, to be in business in general, if for any company to stay in business, I have to be profitable. I have to make money at this. And you get away from doing the $25 details because you feel like, if I'm going to be in business for myself, why would I make, you know, helper employee, you know, kind of pay? I should be making like a business owner kind of pay. You know, I started off, true story, like I was making $150, $200 a day to $300 a day to my daily quota in my head became $500 a day. Now my number in my head is $750. Like I try to make $750 a day. Nice. So that's one reason why I am outside of my house as much as I am, because I'm trying to make $750 a day. Not every day am I going to do that. Some days I'll make $200-$300 still. Fuck it, you know. But most days, you know, there's days where I've made $1,500 a couple days this year, and I've made it all in one day. So there's days, too, where I bid a $1,500 job, but I want it for 4 days. So, I mean, you have to average those two, you know, fuckeries up, you know. But
right, exactly, yeah.
I don't have no judgment for, you know, anybody on any side of the scope. You know, I'm not the most expensive guy. Even my coatings, my five-year coatings, I'm starting at $1,250, depending on the situation and what they want done. But in my market, it's oversaturated, too. There's a lot of guys in this area. More and more every day are ceramic coating. And, you know, some people are ruining the name for customers. They don't even know what to expect, and they're getting crap. Right. And then it's hard for me to sell. I'm not trying to underprice myself. I'm going to spend 12 to 18 hours doing a damn coating. Like, I want paid for that.
Right. And it's the same way over here, you know. And listen, I mean, the way I kind of look at it is, you know, I only really want to do one coating a week, you know, take up 3 days. I can charge anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000. It gives me a couple other days to make a, you know, another $300, $400, $500, $700 or whatever kind of deal. And I mean, you boil that all down, that's 52 cars. I just need 52 cars, you know, or 52 coatings, you know, cars to come in for coatings. So that leaves plenty for all the other detailers out there, you know. I mean, there's plenty to go around. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, it's getting oversaturated. And of course now, you know, ceramic is the new wax, you know, so everybody's doing it, you know, whether they're good at it or not.
It's funny that you say that, because when this all started, like I said, when I was homeless, I told my wife, and I we were driving around from job to job, and I was like, you know, I only need about 80... 90 customers to be like repeat customers, call me 2 times a year, and that's enough to keep us busy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And at this point we've gotten we're like, I would say we have about 2,000 customers, I'm not even joking, that just like call us at random times and repeat and keep revolving and keep growing. I want to stay small in a sense, but at the same time I have the ability, or have like, I have it a situation where I really feel like I could grow it. You know, starting off homeless, I've been hungry the entire time, and I'm still hungry. And my last year, I just did my taxes. I'm like, I haven't even done taxes for the 3 years I've been in business. That tells you how long I've been in business. But my CPA just filed everything. Like, all my taxes are actually paid. Like, I don't owe Uncle Sam nothing. I'm scot-free. When I had a huge weight on my shoulder, I thought I was going to go like jail or something for tax evasion. Right. I didn't know. You know, I was like, shit, you know, I got to pay these fuckers. You know, I cleared over 110 grand last year, just at 110 grand on paper. That's, you know, awesome, and I say that not to try to get myself in trouble, but, you know, sometimes I have customers who tip us cash or something like that. You know what I mean? So
right.
On paper, we did really good. And My goal is to grow that. I know I can grow it, and with help, you know, with some qualified helpers and stuff like that, I can teach other people.
Yep.
And in our market here, you know, there's 1.5 million people between Hillsborough and Pinellas County. You know, again, I used to say 80, 90 people. If I can just get 8,000 or 9,000 people to call me residually every year, I mean, that's pretty good numbers. They all don't have to be coding jobs. I mean, I see a lot of people get like secluded, or I can only do codings now. I'm so fancy that I can only do codings. Like, being versatile is going to make you the most money. You know, knowing your market and knowing your own value is going to increase your product too. Like,
well, that's
I want to get more for my time, and that's what I keep doing. I keep increasing my time. And
And that's one of the things that I've spoke about a couple of times, you know, going to Knox's shop last year and learning about his little, I don't even remember what the heck he calls it. I call it a hyper polish. But I mean, instead of doing a one step, you know, he was doing a, like an actual cut and polish, but they just don't spend time on it doing correction.
Don't think about it.
Yeah, I mean, they're throwing like M100 on a microfiber pad and just full send and zipping around the car, and then they go back and polish it out, and then they'll throw some little sealant on it. He's like, dude, we do those all day long for $450-$500, somewhere around there. Yeah.
That's what I'm learning. Yeah,
honestly, right. And I came home and I started offering that, and I started doing that, and you know, with COVID last year, we did better than the year before by like 10 grand, which I thought was awesome, especially being that it was COVID. But when I
went like 35.
But when I went back and looked at my coatings for last year, I did 24 coatings last year. Considering I did like 50 the year before. So I was like, I was like, how, like, what did I do? You know, that
one of those one steps, huh?
I apparently so.
Oh, but that's and see, like, and that's another thing is I've probably done less cars, and it's not even a joke. Like, I've done less cars in 2020, but charged more money for every car, and that's how I made more money. Like, I'm not joking. And there was people who like heard my price, and they were an old customer, like, oh, how could you charge me this price? And I'm like, I'm sorry, how could you expect me to not? Like, last time I gave you an amazing detail for $80 to $100, you know, now I'm paying Uncle Sam. Like, every job is, you know, ran through the business. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not harboring any kind of cash. I'm keeping it legit. I'm trying to buy a house next year. You know what I mean? Like, I want to show
my funds. You're going to get the clients that are like, I get it. And then you're going to get the clients that are like, well, you know, but honestly, like that's not the clients you want anymore. Right. I mean, like I had a bunch of clients that followed me from the car wash because I kind of kept doing things for car wash prices to keep them around.
Yeah.
And then when I got to a point to where I told them like, look, I cannot do this anymore. By me doing your car, I'm losing money because I could be doing another car for way more, you know,
I sold a boat coating for $5,000 last year, right? And if you would have asked me in 2017 if I thought that I could have sold a boat detail to somebody for more than $1,000, you know, I'd have been like, dude, there's nobody does that. You know what I mean? And the guy paid me, and he's a repeat customer, and he's like on a monthly maintenance plan, and like, so that's even more repeat money. Yeah. You know, just have me detail his parents' boat and stuff. Like, I mean, just a regular detail, nothing special. But, you know, yeah, dude, you know, you just never know how it's going to go. And you know, I'm just trying to market myself. Like you just said, you know, you kind of leave some people behind, and that's how I see it. I'm reaching to a different audience now. And everybody's market is different, because I got another person I look up to is a couple people is Brandon Cavender out in, I think, West Virginia there. And then I talked to Matt Morgan a lot. Matt's a hell of a guy, stand-up guy. And everybody's, I say his name because we talk about pricing and stuff like that. And everybody's market is different. You know, if you're in an area like, let's say, Kentucky, rural Kentucky, where people ain't going to have what Jacksonville or Tampa or Miami has, one of these big county, you know, big, big cities where millions of people live, there's a lot more money floating around. So you got to, you know, network to your, you know, your audience in a sense, but you know, you can still increase your prices and explain to people what they're getting and why it costs what it costs, you know? And if people don't respect that, then like you said, they're not for you. You know, I tell people, look, I'm charging you $1,800 for this coating because I'm going to spend 24 hours labor on it, plus the materials and all the other stuff. And I have the knowledge to know why to do that, you know? And you might just think that I could walk up and slap wax on it and walk away, but I know that it's not what you want and it's not what I want. You know, I'm not going to, you know, not because I want the extra money from you. I'm just trying to explain to you,
right,
hearing your expectations, that's not what you're asking for, isn't going to be delivered with anything else but this. You know what I mean? And that's, yeah, where you kind of,
exactly. I've gotten into the habit. I just tell people, listen, we run off of shop hours. I know how many hours it's going to take me to do the car,
yeah,
that time shop hours. And I don't tell them what my shop hours are. Because, yeah, I mean, honestly, for a ceramic coating job, my shop hours are probably $100 plus because I'm charging so much for, you know, if I'm a $2,000 ceramic job, but it only takes me, you know, a day and a half, 15, 16 hours or something like that, you know, I'm obviously well over $100 an hour.
Yeah.
But then I might get, you know, an interior detail that I'm charging $250, $300 for that takes me 3 or 4 hours. So then I'm under $100. So I don't tell them what my shop hours are. Right. But I try to explain it to them that way, you know, almost like, you know, and I kind of try to connect it with like when you go to have your vehicle worked on, right? Like if you take it to the mechanic shop, it's an hourly shop rate,
yep,
plus your parts, you know?
Yeah, no, so, and that's what it is.
Right. So when I, no, and I found,
I've seen other people do that too. I've seen other detailers who kind of like, they've posted their invoices or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, kind of how they structure their,
yeah,
hours.
I mean, I don't break it down like that, but that's how I explain it to people why my pricing is so high, you, yeah, know, or why they feel my pricing is so high. And it seems to have gotten better response. You know,
well, it's an educated reply. Makes sense.
Right.
And so when somebody sits down, when I explain to people pricing or I explain to people why I'm going to like, and I'm very lucky. I land 9 out of 10 jobs that I get probably because I'm too damn cheap. But, and I tell myself it's because, you know, I'm good at what I do, but
right,
I, you know, explain it to people and they'll be, you know, teetering between me and somebody else. And I'll explain, listen, you know, I'm going to do steps A, B, and C. They're probably charging you for steps A and C, you know, what, yeah, have you, you know, and I'm not trying to talk down on them, but you know, this is what I promise you that I'm going to do for your money. And, yeah, because I'm going about doing things, you know, the right way, in my opinion, when people hear me explain my steps and why I'm doing this and why I feel this is necessary, they feel like I'm educated enough that they're going with my decision because I sold them on that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm a salesman still, but I'm also an educated salesman at that point. I know what I'm doing and how long it's going to take and why. Like I said, I'm getting better money every day. That's like,
it's all that matters,
I can't stress,
really,
that enough to the next guy, yeah, who's not getting his money right now, or maybe feels he's like underpaid. That's listening. You know, your podcasts are actually pretty kick ass. So I hope your viewership is kind of going up or your listening is going up. But you know, if the guys who are struggling or trying to get there, you know, where I feel like I'm at some days, you know, keep pushing, keep knowing your self worth. You know what I mean? Like you're gonna die one day, no shit. So you're giving away time of your life for money. That's what you're, yeah, doing. Get your money's worth. Other people are charging 120, you know, like you said, shop rates. You go to any shop in town, they're charging anywhere from 80 to 125 bucks an hour.
Oh, and
they're putting a $15 an hour guy out there to do that, and they probably have 3 or 4 of those bays running at one time.
Yep.
So the shop rate's really $500 an hour is what they're making, you know what I mean? Yeah, and paying, yeah, out less than 100 an employee.
Right,
so
right.
You know, think about it from a business standpoint if you're going to keep detailing, you know, and make money. You know, don't quit giving away your time. Like I said, Anthony Carrera was one who told me, you know, very beginning, you're way too cheap. You know, like I said, I don't talk to the guy, but he's not an idiot. Like he knows how to make money. People,
yeah,
pay him.
He is. You know, he's, I mean? So, he's done a heck of a job, you know, I mean, yeah, he's I mean, what, like two years ago or whatever. I mean, he kind of jumped into that shop and jumped in with Car Candy. And I mean, he's just kind of, you know, blown up a little bit. So, I mean, he's doing something right.
Yeah, no, I respect him. I mean, I didn't try to copy him in a sense, but I tried to almost follow his image in a way.
Right.
You know, I got the shop set up over in Tampa, and I was trying to sell some products and stuff like that. Not to his degree, but just some of the Angel Wax products and, yeah, some, you know, other little things.
It's always good customers. To have. Yeah, it's always good to have some aftercare.
Extra case. Flow of revenue.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But again, it's he stays stationary, and I still run mobile. So my shop.
Gotcha.
My shop is almost kind of pointless to me. Like I think I might have told you in the pre-show.
But yeah.
I'm going to be leaving my shop, you know, probably month's end or maybe the end of next month. I'm not exactly sure. My landlord's already cool with it, but I'm leaving my shop in Tampa and I'm kind of downgrading to a smaller shop where I don't have the big parking lot and all the fenced in area that I have.
Yeah.
Now. The deal that I was working just didn't work out for me. And at this point, it's just wasted money. You know, I'm spending $2,700 a month on rent before bills, you know, so right. I got like $3,300 a month invested totally in having that shop. And I'm only there a couple days a month. Like,
that's
so
a, that's a huge bite out of your, yeah. out of your money, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, I think a lot of guys get into, right. And gals, you know, they just think, man, I need the big shop. I need the this, I need the that, you know, and they go crazy.
I had a business plan in mind and it just didn't work out. I definitely, right. I knew what I was getting into was steep. I knew that. And I talked to a few people like Jeremy Conforti and I, I don't talk to a lot of people as much as I did, you know, let's say 6-8 months ago. I don't, no right. reason or a rhyme for it. I don't have no hatred toward nobody. I'm just busy and, you know, trying to make happens. All this stuff work.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking to Jeremy Conforti and a couple other people about it. You know, when I first got the shop, they're like, man, that's expensive. That's high price. But I'm also like, I'm in the rich neighborhood. I'm gotcha. Getting everything that I'm paying for,
right.
but I'm just not generating. Like I get a few leads off Google from the people that live nearby that are Googling detailers.
Yeah.
That it's almost paying the rent some months, but it's not what I was hoping for. I was going to put boats right. out on my lot and sell them and make money off that. You know, I worked with a marina right around the corner and pretty much there's a dealership there and I was hoping to like put lots out there and if they sold a few boats maybe I got a percentage
yeah.
if they didn't sell the boats maybe I could just clean them, you know, and we're right on Front Street,
right.
The coronavirus pandemic fucked all that up, you know, there's yeah. no production. Every boat that they have on the lot right now is sold as soon as it arrives, like yeah. you know, for like the next 80 boats. I got into an argument with the owner too, you know what I mean, we got in a few like 2 days before Christmas, we got in a little argument and you know, so I haven't been doing the work for them like I was before, you know.
Yeah,
I really don't. It's not killing me in a sense because I was bending over backwards for them. And that was a lot of my long nights where I would work all day and they would say, hey, we have two boats that are delivery tomorrow. Can you take care of it?
yeah.
I would never tell them no. So I'd grab right. fast food and me, my wife and kids, we'd go out there and detail all night long. My kids would run around the parking lot, do what they wanted to do. And, you know, shit, we stayed up late. They didn't care. But so in a sense, it's a burden kind of relieved to where I don't have to stress or put myself in those positions. I wasn't charging them as much as I could have charged them. I thought that we were more friendly than we were. And right. you know, I have definitely a stronger business outlook now on all relationship fronts, you know,
yeah.
You can't do favors. You can't right. put yourself in a situation where you're cutting your own throat to keep doing favors. They were bringing me work and money, but I could have made just as much money, you know, devoted to myself. I feel respectfully, and I appreciate them.
A lot of times it's live and learn, right? I mean,
yeah,
you have to try it out. And I mean, that's, when I left the car wash,
dealership work. People know right. dealership work.
Right. And when I left the car wash, I had a dealership client, and they took, you know, they said, hey, we'll go with you. You're leaving the car wash. That's fine. And I mean, they were great for me being able to, you know, basically get
have some
fired,
security.
Get fired from the car wash because I technically got fired because they sold. So, you know, they had to fire everybody, and then you come back the next day and you get rehired. So I essentially got fired, and then 2 days later, I've got, you know, 15 cars to do from the dealership. And it was nice to get started, but it's just like what you said, man. You know what I mean? Like you're giving them a deal because of, you know, the quality that they're giving you. But then eventually they want a little bit more and you're like, okay, but it costs more and, you know, but their more is higher than what they want to pay more for, right. you know?
And it's never a happy medium.
Right. And eventually it came down to, you know, we just weren't seeing eye to eye on it. And he was, you know, I think he was absolutely bluffing and said, you know, hey, if you guys can't do this, I'll find somebody else. And I was like, all right, cool. See ya. And yeah. his jaw dropped and he was kind of like, oh shit. And I was gone. It was a Friday and I started Monday at the shop where I'm at now. And you know, that's how it was.
Yeah. That's kind of how things went with my situation in a way, like some shit went south. You know, the company had always been making money on me in a sense, like, let's say I charge $24 a foot. They tell the customer, I don't know their exact numbers, but let's say 30, 32.
Right.
You know, and they were charging more on some jobs than they probably should have, especially as I started increasing my price on them. Right. I think that they, you know, my quality stood for itself, and I started feeling like, you know, all right, look, if I'm doing work for you, the dealership, you know, I'm going to charge you guys this price, whereas your boats, it's not that bad. They're not really dirty. But now if a customer calls me, I'm not giving you my you price no more. I'm charging the customer my price now. And I think that they kept kind of charging on top still. And a situation came where a customer felt like he overpaid on a boat and some things weren't up to his satisfaction. Typically, and I worked for this place for like 4 years, typically every customer, I'd always go back and I'd have that personal interaction with them. If there's anything they were unhappy with, I fixed it like that. You know, hey, right. I didn't notice that. I overlooked it. I missed it. Right. I meant to, whatever. And I do, you know, and if there's something they're just, you know, haggling me about, I just go ahead and do it for them to keep them happy, you know, because it was the dealership's recommendation. But long story short, you know, I felt disrespected by the people who I thought were my friends. You know, it was kind of boiling to a point where as soon as he said something negative to me, I took it real personal. And, you know, we kind of, it escalated from there, you know, and I felt like I was wrong to feel like our business relationship was anything further than that. We weren't friends. You know, he didn't know me anything. I don't know him shit, you know, at the end of the day. And, you know, again, like I said, I was bitter about it for a short period of time, like, you know, damn, that sucks, I'm gonna feel that, it's gonna hurt. But I don't, like, I mean, and even when things were slow in January and February, I kind of almost accredited it to them, but I didn't, like, at the same time, like, I didn't I was, it's like being weaned off the tit, but like, I didn't really need what they were offering, you know. I still can generate my own revenue.
Sometimes it's a blessing in disguise, right? Like, I have been able to grow you know, exponentially by leaving that dealership or firing them, so to speak. I always say, people, I fired them because they tried some bullshit and I said, okay, later, I'm done.
That's kind of, I mean, I feel like I walked away from the situation. They didn't, you know, I could have made the situation better and kept it going, you know, really, but it was, you know, I was at a point where.
But a lot of times they'll feed you a bunch of work that you're happy for, but really it's preventing you from growing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, like I said, because there's a lot of times where I would tell, like, literally, I would tell a customer, hey, oh, my kid's sick, I gotta go on my last job of the day because they called and they said they needed two or three boats done. Now, it's wrong to do my other customer like that, but I seen them as, you know, X amount of money per year, let's say $40,000 a year guaranteed. Right. I don't want to leave them hanging. And so I did that for them as like kind of a common courtesy and as like a mutual friendly, hey, look, I got you back. You know what I mean? And when it came down to it, there was a job that went south, one job out of how many, you know, and I walked in to get paid, and just the way he initially spoke to me was very disrespectful. And I was just like, you know, look, dude, after all, you know, I keep coming out here, I'm working my ass off, I have no help, you know what I mean? And I'm literally out here doing all this stuff myself. You know, I don't need your shit. Like, I'm not going to listen. You're not going to talk to me sideways because whatever. Like, you can talk to me like a man about it, and I'm cool with that. But it went sideways real fast. And I already have a temper. So those who know me, you know, I'm kind of a hothead sometimes, you know, like I'm cool and come cool and collected until I, you know, I'm not. And then when you know, no offense, like I'm not anymore, but usually like in 9 out of 10 situations, I don't just walk up to be the hothead. Like never, I don't never just walk up and try to find a problem.
Right,
but I don't, like, I'm 5'6", man. I'm not going to be disrespected too much. You know? Little guy complex, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, I'm not going to be disrespected too much. You know, if you wouldn't talk to somebody else that way, don't talk to me like that. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. And I mean,
just treat others how you want
to
be treated.
Right, we're all professional. I mean, we should be able to handle each other professionally.
And that's that, you know?
Yeah. All right, so we're like hour and something in.
Man, I've enjoyed talking to you. I mean,
I try to keep these relatively, you know, I try to keep them under an hour and a half because after an hour and a half, people stop listening. What we're going
to
do.
I've tried to catch up on a lot of episodes too, man, especially before getting on here. But,
I appreciate it. So what I want to do is, because I can't not do them. So we're going to do the this or that questions.
All right, go ahead.
So if you've heard them before, you probably know them. If you haven't, then cool. So interiors or exteriors?
Exteriors.
Okay. Rupes or Flex?
I have Rupes, but I'm going to go with Flex because I'm getting annoyed with my Rupes.
All right. Cleaning windows or washing and folding towels?
Washing and folding towels.
Sun shots or lighted shop shots?
I prefer sun shots.
I think we all do.
Light shots. I mean, I get it. Everybody needs a light on there, but
yeah,
it's just it's the well, same stuff.
Light shots are pretty nice because they make the they give the car more glossier effect, but sun shots.
Just, man, I don't know though, dude. Like, I see some of these guys with like the tunnel of lights, and then again, not trying to keep like telling everybody that Giancarlo is the best, you know, because he gets a little heat sometimes in Paint Assassins. But when he pulls some cars out of his building, some of them cars just right there at the back of his building look like they're underneath one of them light boots, dude. They're all crystally and outside definitely has its effect, man. I'm always chasing that. That's what I'm chasing. That's the effect that I want my customers to see. That kind
definitely of definitely for sure. Wow. All right, and since you do both, shop or mobile?
Having a shop for a year, you know, I enjoy being in the shop, but mobile is mobile makes me money in my area right now. I didn't push my shop heavily enough. I never sat down there enough to do it. Right. I'm not throwing away my shop. I'm just relocating, so it's not like it's over yet. But as time has gone on so far, I prefer to do mobile. I like being out, going out, you know, interacting with people. Right. But I probably give me a couple of years, come back to that, and I'll probably prefer a shop because traffic here sucks. I hate driving. I'm always angry to have to go somewhere, and I'm always late because of traffic. Right. I'm red lights. But exactly. As it stands right now, I still love mobile. That's kind of what I started off on, so that's where I dig it the most. But shop is more professional.
Listen, some people would rather do that than be a shop deal. Left Twix or right Twix?
I have to go with the Reese's, man. Okay. Whatever one's closest to the side I opened.
No, Reese's Pieces or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
Reese's Cups. Right,
I was going with two sides. Listen, I'll take either or.
You're right. That's cool.
Wax or ceramic?
Again, it's funny because when I met Anthony Carrera, I thought that ceramic was full of shit. You know what I mean? And he's like, no, you got to get on this. Da, 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 da. Ceramic to me all day is better than wax, especially if it's properly applied. You know, I only have knowledge on a certain amount of companies, but if done proper and it's, you know, a worthy maker, then ceramic all day. You're going to get what you pay for.
Right. Right. And then the last, the final and the most important question of them all, are you Team Alex or Team Noxy?
Oh, man. I got to go with Team Alex, man. Team Noxy hasn't put me on no podcast yet. No, I'm just kidding. I have not made it through all the podcasts. Has he been on here yet or not?
Yeah, he has.
He
finally was.
All right, so that's how far I haven't went yet.
Yeah, he was we ended up having him on a What's On Your Mind one because Bruno was like, I gotta be a part of that podcast. Like, I can't listen like everybody else. I gotta be a part of it. And then he just sat back and
I kept listening to like the first, I don't know, 6 or 8 episodes. And it was always like he kept getting bumped for somebody. So I just like in the back of my head, when I didn't hear from you today, I was like, all right, look, I'm getting bumped for Noxy. It's all right. No, it's okay. So, if I get bumped for Noxy, it's worth it.
So the way that started out, and I'll retell it because it's been a while since I've talked about it. And we've got a ton of new listeners that I don't know if they go back and listen to all the old ones. So the whole thing that the idea came about ever before we tracked the first episode and I ran it past Bruno as a, you know, hey, what do you think if I do this kind of deal? So I kind of stole it from Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel used to have the deal with Matt Damon, you know, where he was like, sorry, Matt Damon, we didn't get to you, you know, we'll get to you next time. And it was just like the running gag, like, you know, for however many years, you know, and then Matt Damon would always try to like break onto the set. And so I was like, I want to do that with Noxy. Like, I just want to make it like Noxy's never, like, we're always bumping him. He something happened. Like, so it started out of the gate pretty good. And by like episode, I think, 5 or 6 or something like that, people were like, all right, dude, we kind of get it, you know, Doxy's not going to be on there, it's not funny anymore, whatever. So then I stopped. I by like episode 7 or 8 I stopped doing the, you know.
I noticed you weren't doing it anymore.
Because apparently everybody thought it wasn't funny anymore.
Screw them. Listen, if it's an inside joke between you and him, it works, you know what I mean? They don't all gotta laugh.
Yeah, but I mean, credit to Knox, man. You know,
he's a hell of a detailer too, man. So there's a lot of guys that I didn't mention today that I definitely respect and admire. He's a hell of a detailer.
She's all right. But no. Listen, man. I mean, Noxie's. You know, a lot of times he won't admit it, but he's got nothing for but love for me. I got nothing but love for him. You know, and he wanted me to succeed on my own, so to so to speak. You know, he didn't want to jump on. He wanted to make sure that I was. And he mentioned in the podcast when we talked to him. You know, so many people in this industry or just in general say they're going to do something and then they do it for a little bit and then, you know, it goes wherever. So that was another
beef. That was my beef with some other detailers that I've come encountered with. That's why I try to stay to myself, is because other people have said things that they were going to do or promised things or
right.
They acted like they did something for me. And that's when I started kind of like backing away from people, like, hold on now. I've done everything I've done to myself and for myself. You know,
right.
That's why I have a hard time asking questions, because people want to make you feel like you're stupid for not knowing, but then don't want to tell you because it's like private information or something like that.
Those people are garbage, I guess. But no, he wanted me to succeed on my own. He wanted to make sure that I was going to follow through with it. And then he got busy. You know, we started rolling with the podcast. I felt like I didn't need to bring him on. You know, we were getting plenty of guests. So when the time was right, the time was right, you know, and then it was kind of funny because then he was kind of almost begging, you know, he's like, when are we going to do it? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, we'll do it. You know, so if we finally kind of hammered it down, and then Jason's like, I gotta be a part of it. Like, I can't, you know, I can't wait to listen to it. I want to be a part of it. Right. So, I mean, it was a pretty good episode. I mean, he just ripped me for about, I don't know. I think it was a 45-minute, hour-long episode. I think he ripped me for about 75% of it, and then like 15% of it, he was, you know, hugs and kisses and all that fun stuff.
That's awesome. I'll get there. I'm catching
up. Yeah.
I started from the beginning and started listening from there. And
yeah. So you got
to, when I'm working sometimes, I have to go back and re-listen to half an episode.
So we did that not too long back. So it was this season. So it would be one of the What's On Your Mind episodes in season 3. Gotcha. So if you're listening to them in order, you still got some time to go, because you still got to go all the way through season 2 before.
Well, I'm happy that it's going so well for you. I enjoy it and I appreciate it, because it lets us kind of get to know other guys, get to know everybody's little stories.
That's exactly what I wanted to do it for, man. I wanted it to be, you know, a thing for me to learn about, you know, guys and girls that I look up to or think do amazing work or, you know, have an interesting story. And it's kind of given everybody else that. And I mean, thankfully we've just gotten a lot of love from the industry, you know, from the no namers. I hate to say it, but I mean, I feel like I'm a no-namer sub guy.
Yeah, I'm a no-namer, bro. Like, I'm honored to be on your show, because I know some of the names on your show are high.
And then we've got nobody. some huge names. I mean, we were able to kind of have the scoop on the O'Burke, with David Patterson leaving Lake Country, go to O'Burke, and we had him and Chris on. Like, I mean, David left Lake Country on a Friday, started with O'Burke on a Monday, and we had both of them on the podcast on Tuesday night. You know, I mean, I felt like that was a huge opportunity for us, with, you know, kind of a scoop in the industry, and have both those guys on there and talk about, you know, that situation and what was going on with O'Burke and where O'Burke was going to be moving towards in the future. So, I mean, hopefully we'll get more opportunities for stuff like that down the road, like people, you know, and not necessarily people leaving companies, but maybe, you know, companies have got some cool shit coming out.
They want to release and talk about it on your show.
Yeah, and they want to come and talk about it on the show.
So you're definitely onto something, man. This can grow. It's cool to watch it grow. I mean, I feel like watching like Paint Assassins grow, and I think that's kind of what all of us detailers are really doing with each other, is watching each other grow.
Oh yeah.
You know, don't hate on the next guy because he's growing, you know, congratulate, right. You know, try to be a fan, all, if anything, because there's already enough haters out there, you know, be a fan and help each other grow.
And I'll tell you what, man, with you saying that, we'll end it there, and I'll drop it with the line, man. The whole point of this is to have a lot more shine and a lot less shade, you know, and the way that that goes in this industry is not only let's make cars nice and shiny, but, you know, let's support each other and, you know, stop putting each other down. You know, that was one of the things Vincent asked me the other night in the birthday episode, you know, if there was one thing in this industry I could change, what would it be? And my answer was, you know, get rid of the egos.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, I respect it, man, for sure. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, I know you kind of rushed home from work and all that stuff. It's I know it's pushing 9:30 here our time. Yeah. So I'm gonna let you go spend some time with the kids and the wife. And I appreciate you, you know, kind of jumping in. I know it was kind of last minute. Like I said, we were trying to fill a spot that somebody else had vacated. And
no, I'm glad to do it, man.
But I'm sure. but I'm glad, man. I think you had a really cool story, and you know, I hope some people get some inspiration from what you've been able to do, you know, with your situation. So,
yeah, man, it's an ongoing saga. It's not over, man. So stay tuned. You know, yeah. If you love me or hate me, either way, stay tuned because it's gonna keep going. That's for sure. I'm not giving up yet. So
there you go, man. So, all right, buddy. Well, I'll talk to you later, man. You have a great night. I appreciate it once again.
Hey, man.
All right.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great one. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Bye.